Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment, your journey into personal growth. The splendor of any decision is after you've made it. All that remains to be seen are its consequences. My name is Ken Primus. I am your host. Here at Threads of Enlightenment, we talk about the principles of self-development and personal growth. By having conversation with people who have walked through their journey of personal growth. We believe that everyone at some point in their life will have to deal with one or more of these principles to have the privilege of focusing on their self-development as humans. These principles, when applied, can help you to become the best self possible. Welcome to another episode of Threads of Enlightenment. As usual, once our guest presents, it is my honor that they come and visit us and trust us with their story, their journey, how they walk through life to create the things that they're going to tell us about this morning or this evening, wherever you're at and whatever time zone you're at, that you will learn and become a better human spirit while we occupy our time here on this planet. Maxwell, I want to thank you and welcome to Threads of Enlightenment, sir.
Well, thank you, Ken. I appreciate the opportunity to sit down and talk with you for a while.
Excellent. Maxwell, tell the people about the things that you've done. I know you have quite a few things that you do, so bring them up to speed.
Okay. I have published 4 books so far. The first one being Leading You Out of the Darkness into the Light, which is about my transformation or journey from carnival owner to creative entrepreneur. And it also includes 11 exercises they can work through to go on the path towards their own first big goal. I've also written It's Not the Cookie, It's the Bag, which is about the lessons I learned preparing to have gastric surgery, having the surgery, and then living my life since then. And then I've written 2 books in a series of 3 books about my travels. The first one, The Blind Blogger's New York City Adventures, How You Can Make Your Dreams Come True. The second one, The Blind Blogger's First Signing, Speaking and Signing Adventures, How to Conquer Your Fears. And I've learned I have to tell people this. When it says signing, it does not mean sign language. It means book signings. Sometimes you just pick the wrong. Sometimes you just pick the wrong title. You know. And those last 2 are part of a journey that started when I competed for one of the Amtrak riders in residence. In spite of the fact that I didn't see myself as qualified, and they selected me, and I used my prize to go on a once-in-a-lifetime trip to to New York City during the Christmas and New Year's holidays of that year. And that began that it talks about facing fear and where did the money come from, because Amtrak didn't pay for everything. And the second part of that story, the second part of that story was a 6-week trip that I did in 2017, where I went out and promoted myself as an author with book signings and public speaking. And one of my favorite chapters in there is, what do you do when you have a book signing and nobody comes? So for those authors and creative entrepreneurs in general, you know, it's a very positive chapter, and it really fits in with a lot of things I talk about, which is finding the positive, finding solutions. A lot of things we do really comes down to deciding that you are going to. And I have a lot of practice. So I've got a lot of mental muscle memory built up for finding solutions, nice. Finding the positive, you know, asking for help, those sorts of things. So those are the books that I've written. I'm very proud of my podcast called What's Your Excuse? And I'm really excited about a podcast network that I launched in January of 2021, which is the WYE Network under the What's Your Excuse brand, because that seems to be my brand. As more and more people say, if Mike's can do it, then what's my excuse?
That's good.
Yeah. And the really cool thing about the network is I'm helping other people with disabilities launch their own podcasts, or I'm helping existing hosts grow their audiences by creating a community of podcasters and those who want to support podcasters who just happen to have a little bit more challenge than the rest of the world does. And then finally, the thing that I do that pays the bills mostly is I instruct people on how to be great podcast guests. I teach them about the booking and pitching process, And I also do the bookings for those people who feel like they just don't have the time or energy either to do the work or to learn how to do the work. And so the online publicity area, getting people on podcasts, radio shows, online magazines, TV shows, etc., that's the primary thing that I do that pays the bills and allows me, as I like to jokingly say, allows me to support my writing, speaking, and traveling habits.
I love it, man. Your plate is full. Maxwell, you got more than I got on mine. I have 3 podcasts, and I can't keep up with all the different things and the social media, the this, the that.
But you know how it is, Ken. We don't do it all at the same time or even all on the same day sometimes, you know?
I would be lying if I'm saying that I do it every day.
How many cats that are working in the online world will admit that they're not superheroes, that will admit that they have a team and a staff or volunteers or friends and family members that help them do all this stuff?
I'm not going to admit to anything, man. Yeah, well, you know, it's just between you and me. So, Maxwell, talk to me about, because a lot of the stuff you mentioned just now is what Threads of Enlightenment is all about, processing people through lots of those things. You talk about fears, you talk about all of those things. What I want to do is go back, Maxwell, because we're going to walk through some of those fears that you did it and the tools that you use to get out, because it is my hope and my expectation that as people listen to us, that's the purpose of Threads of Enlightenment, that they would become moved enough to begin to move. So my mom used to say to me, change is not change until you change. And I love that. So let's talk. Go back when you were born and your household and that family unit, because that's where we start program. And then we'll move to come to today.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, as you know, what you were saying about change there is in my family, if you don't have anything to do? Good. I will find you something to do. Trust me, it'll be a lot less fun than what you were already doing. So I grew up in a family of carnival owners in East Texas. Mm-hmm. I have 2 younger brothers. One's 1.5 years younger. The other's like 7 years younger. All I ever really wanted to do was to be part of the family business. I also found out from an early age, about 4 or 5 years old, that eventually I was going to lose part, if not all, of my vision. I may not have known all the details at that time, but already starting to gradually lose vision at 5 years old. And since I have retinitis pigmentosa, was already starting to have difficulty with night blindness and vision going in and out of places with different levels of light, you know, like from dark rooms out into sunshine. So, but I also grew up around a family of people who were the kind of people who did things. You see, when all your family are in the same business, whether it's a farm, a ranch, a dollar store, a restaurant, or a carnival, you learn lessons from being around your family. And so in my family, the only thing that matters to a carnival owner is, did you get open on Thursday or Friday night? And we you're not going to have all the time, money, or resources you need to have. You know you're not going to have all the help you want to have. And you know that the general public doesn't care whether you had a personal or a business emergency during the last 7 days. All they want to know is, it's Thursday, can I buy a funnel cake and ride the Ferris wheel? You know? So when you grow up in a community like that, you grow up with this idea that there's really no time to feel bad about things or feel sorry for yourself. There's a lot of time for finding solutions or figuring out something to be happy about. And that's the kind of people I grew up with. And then you add on top of that, I was lucky enough to live in an affluent school district, even though my family wasn't affluent ourselves. And a lot of times, you know, the treatment you get in the school, especially somebody with a disability, depends on how much money that school has to spend. So I was lucky enough to be in a good school district. So I had teachers, parents, eventually scoutmasters, and a lot of people who were very positive and encouraging. I had a dad who was always telling me I could do anything I wanted to do if I worked at it hard enough. And then, of course, we found out there were a lot of things that I was never going to be good at. But I was lucky enough or talented enough or had enough help that I graduated from a traditional high school and a traditional college. Mm-hmm. I'm a Texas A&M Corpus Christi graduate. I feel bad for my Corpus Christi Islanders because they finally make the NCAA tournament and they had to make it to the play-in game and they had to play Texas Southern. So the local sports people are rooting for Texas Southern. I'm rooting for Corpus Christi, and you know, but the good news is since they made it to the tournament, even if they had to be in the 65 through 68 teams,
yeah,
they still get a cut of all those hundreds of millions of dollars that get thrown around. So even a loss is good for my alma mater. I'm also one of the few legally blind Eagle Scouts. So something that only about 3% of young boys in the U.S. and other parts of the world do that don't have a visual disability. So I'm one of the few blind Eagles. And there again, that taught me a lot of things because the only way you get to Eagle, you know, you talked about the only way to change is change. Well, the only way to get to Eagle is to take that first step and just keep moving because there are more parts to an Eagle Scout than there are to one of those old toys they used to give you that had all those pieces. You know, There are Lego toys that have fewer parts than the Route to Eagle Scout, you know?
Congratulations on that.
Yeah.
I never made it, man. You know, I was in there and I never made it that far. So, congratulations.
Yeah, but to put that in perspective, the council that my troop was a part of here in East Texas, the year I received my Eagle Scout Award and had my Court of Honor was the 75th anniversary of scouting in this part of Texas in the United States. So They went 75 years before they had their first blind eagle. So it's not easy. And I'm sure that, you know, that you made some good friendships and you learned some important things while you were there, which is a really cool thing. So I was lucky enough to get to work alongside my dad and the rest of the family in our carnival for about 15 years. Mm-hmm. Before my dad's death resulted in the closing of our carnival because me and my brother weren't ready to run the show by ourselves yet when he passed away.
Yeah.
And eventually, just to make a living, we combined what few rides we had left with my uncle's carnival. Now, we had competed very bitterly with my uncle's carnival over the years for bookings to the point that there was mail stolen, there were answering machine messages erased, there were rumors of cancer and other dire injuries and illnesses. You know, this was cutthroat.
That's corporate America quality stuff, man.
So when we sold the last of our rides and took our games and food onto his midway, my first response was, "Dang, I know we were going to lose, but if we had to lose, why did we have to lose to them? I mean, there are other carnivals we could have worked with in Texas. There's a bunch of them here. There's like 25 here half the year or something, you know." So eventually, I realized that my games just weren't cut out to be on a show with 25 or 35 rides. They did fine on a small midway. So I gradually, lost that income. So eventually I've got no carnival, I got no games, I got no income, and I got no idea what I'm going to do next. So before I continue, I have to give my cousin Jason, I have to give him a lot of thanks because he basically forced me out of the business. I'm now doing something I love a whole heck of a lot more than I ever loved being a carnival owner. I get to live most of my time indoors with air conditioning and heating and running water and good internet. I am much more, I'm much healthier physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually because I'm no longer a carnival owner. So I have to think, now he's not one of those people that you can actually go and have this conversation with. You know, some people you cannot forgive or thank directly. So I wrote about it in my first book, and so far he's either not heard about it or hasn't commented on it. But I just felt like I had to, you know, it was part of my gratitude and acceptance and forgiveness so that I could move on to the next step after that book. So I did.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's an important thing. You know, a lot of people talk about they have to make amends, they have to apologize, but or they have to forgive the other person or themselves. But not a lot of people talk about, hey, there are some times where there just isn't a good way to forgive. So you have to get a little creative, you know? One of my favorite examples I read in a book once is there was this woman, whenever she needed to forgive somebody, she would write down everything they did on a piece of paper, make it into a paper boat, and float it down the stream in her neighborhood. It was like, that was letting it go, you know? So we have to find our own way. And eventually I did find my own way. And it was kind of the beginning of this continuing journey that I'm on, because in 2007, I decided that I was going to try being a professional equipment broker because I had helped my family sell rides over the years. You know, generally in our family, if you wanted to buy something newer, you had to sell something older. So I had a little bit of experience. And I started the Midway Marketplace in 2007, was finally online with it in 2008. But I had to learn a whole bunch of new things, including teaching myself how to hand code HTML to get my first website online. So
that's impressive.
I give thanks every day for WordPress, for the fact that I no longer have to know greater thans and less thans and slashes and quotes unless I want to, you know. And I basically did that because it was my only option. It was like, okay, Max, you don't have the money to hire somebody. You don't have friends that have those skills. So in order to do this, what's your options? And my option was to teach myself HTML. So I went through the W3C.org school and taught myself HTML until WordPress came along. So until somebody came along and showed me that I didn't need to be as scared of WordPress, because WordPress had been around for a while. I was just afraid. I was scared to death of what might happen to my website in the process of moving from one framework to another. So, I also had to figure out how to recruit clients and set fees and write copy and manage and a whole bunch of other stuff. And people say, "Hey, Max, we like the fact that you just decide to do whatever the next thing is. You take on these difficult challenges with joy. And we want to hear more about you as a blind entrepreneur." So I started the blindblogger.net. And since then, you know, I've written the four books. I've traveled the country solo. I've sang and spoken in public. I started my podcast. I help other people podcast and do podcast interviews. So, but a lot of it really just started September 27th, 2007, when I filed for a domain name, not knowing how the heck I was ever going to get the thing online or if it would ever get online. My first website, I did a very bad job of picking the colors. And, so you combine the yellow background, the blue text, the red link text, and the orange previously clicked link text. You end up with a website that I've been told more than once was so bright that Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder could argue over it, or could have argued over it since Ray has passed on, you know. It was bad, but... It was bad, but well, hey,
it's a compliment. They can see you made them see to the point where they can have an argument on it.
It was bright. If anybody doubts me, they can go to archive.org, which is a site that will show you previous versions of a website. You go to archive.org and look for midwaymarketplace.com from 2008 or 2009. But I'm telling you, don't look directly into the monitor or wear some sunglasses or something, man, because it's... But here's the thing.
You're a brave man to even tell them. I wouldn't tell them mine because I have...
This is the best part of the story. See, because I didn't just say it's horrible and take it down, because I focused on recruiting new pieces of equipment to sell and working my butt off to find new homes for that stuff. And trust me, in the early days, people didn't want me to sell their good stuff. They wanted me to sell their junk, you know? So, because I focused on what I could do and ignored the fact that I couldn't make the website pretty or brilliant or genius or whatever, that website, you know, even before I changed it to WordPress, sold hundreds of thousands of dollars of amusement equipment on five continents because I chose to focus on things I could do something about.
Maxwell, people were wearing dark glasses, looking at your site and buying stuff. So that is that's even more of an accomplishment having Stevia and Ray argue on it. You got people that were seeing that were able to purchase stuff from it. So I tip my hat off with that piece. So there you go. It is how you look at it. I love your story, though, Maxwell. You're talking about all those principles, and you are putting in all the keys to let people know, just keep moving, keep moving. It's just a matter of adjusting your perception and how you perceive things. And you were talking about finding answers. And that's the fun part about living, man, is not to be stuck in one routine, but to engage your mind and your thought process, by which you can switch your perception on that particular issue and then find a way out.
Right. Now, here's the tricky part, the difficult part for most people. Most people can say, okay, this is my problem. And most people can say, these are my solutions. And most people can say, this is the most effective solution. But the hard part comes when you have to implement a solution you don't like. You know, when you have to learn how to code HTML because you can't use the what you see is what you get. Or, you know, when I first started that website, people wouldn't talk to me because there were competitors who had free websites because they had sponsors. I was insisting on a commission of their sale price. So I couldn't get people to open my emails for a while. So I got the idea. Wow. Well, I didn't realize I was creating a lead magnet at the time. I said, okay, I will offer them a free link page on my website, and in exchange for them reading or receiving an email from me once a week. But what I did to make it hard for them to say no is I went to the various directories for people in the amusement industry. I would take their information from whatever website they had, put it on my website, and then send them an email and go, hey, if you want this to stay on my website so people can find you easier, all you have to do is get an email from me once a week. So, you know, I built an email list with thousands of names on it. But trust me, who wants to do that? Who wants to, you know, to build all those pages and find all that? But if you know, so the question is, like I say, a lot of people can find solutions. The problem is when it comes to having to implement a solution you don't like. I mean, when I was still a carnival owner, there were weeks that I would take my good clothes off and I would put my old clothes on and I would have grease all over me by the time we opened. And there were weeks the grease stopped where my sleeves began, you know. So that's what you got to ask yourself. Okay, am I willing? Is my goal big enough? Is my why strong enough that I'm willing to do something I don't enjoy doing on a regular basis, either to get to that next place or until I get to the point where I can get somebody else to do this for me? And that's really hard. I mean, the goal is really important to you, having to adopt solutions that are uncomfortable is very difficult.
Yeah, I think, though, Maxwell, as you said, to me, personal growth is dealing with the difficult stuff. Because when you start looking at yourself, man, and seeing how you really are, you know your darkness. I don't know it. No one knows it like you do. And the fact that when you start making the decisions to go beyond that, go beyond all of your limitations and push further and push further, I think that's the reward in life. That's where the smile is. That's where the joy is. That's where the other side of this thing lies, is beyond that that space where, you, like you said, you got to make your dreams big enough to wake you up when you're tired and move you one step when you want to give up. The fun part about life. Yeah. So it takes work to change. It takes work, it takes dedication, it takes a desire that is strong when rain comes, because it says that rain comes on the just and the unjust. They don't care who you are. So how you deal with the rain when it comes. So are you going to, you know, run in the store and buy an umbrella? Are you going to walk? How are you going to deal with it? Is you going to have to make some kind of decision to deal with this rain and manage your situation. So that's the beautiful thing about life, I think, if we allow it to change us to the point where it goes beyond our limitations.
Yeah. If we're talking about literal rainstorm, I usually have to get wet because a black guy with a white cane doesn't do well with an umbrella. And at six foot five, there aren't a lot of people who can hold the umbrella over me while I walk. So, and sometimes in life you just have to go, hey, I'm going to get wet.
That's the part of it. Sometimes you just got, like you said, you had dirt all the way to your sleeves, and sometimes it's just messy. I remember in Bible school where this rich man's son got his inheritance ticket and went and partied. And when all the money ran out, all his friends disappeared. And the next thing you know, this rich man's son is, I don't know how he ended up there, Maxwell, but he ended up eating food with pigs. I don't know how, you know, but we were reading that he was there eating with the pigs, and he said to himself, wait a minute, I don't have to eat with the pigs. I can go to my father's house and be a servant. So sometimes life just gets messy, man. We have to get up and dust ourselves off and start that journey home, wherever that is, and creating this new place that we want to live as individuals. And but that's life. Sometimes it gets messy, but I think it's the mess, Maxwell, that wakes us up. It kind of shakes us off, gets us focused as to, do I want to stay here? If I want to move, what are the steps you were talking about? Some people don't want to move, but we talked earlier a little about life. Sometimes two people have the same situation and how they respond differently. And so I think it's the hard times that differentiate who we are, man. Are we going to become a creator, or are we just going to give up?
Yeah. And it really would be good if we could help people figure out how to be on the side of somebody who becomes a creator. But there just doesn't seem to be a really good answer for that. So many really
There's
good
money people. In there somewhere. If we could come up. If we could come up with it, we could have an empire, man.
yeah. I sense that a lot of it is tied to money at the heart of it, for, you know, because so many people, money is success and lack of money is failure. So it could have something to do with it as well, you know.
I think that's how they're programmed, but I think people. Most of the things that I read something one day and it scared me, says that fear, death kills a man one time, but fear kills him every day if he allows it. And I remember reading that and go, ouch. And I wanted to familiarize myself with my fears, and so that I will not allow it to kill me every day, so that I will be able to walk and not allow that situation. And that is, when situation comes into my life, whatever they are, I try to take a pause, take a breath, and try to investigate another perception of it. Take it and look at it differently and assimilate it into that perception and change the energy that it presents itself before my life.
Yeah.
So talk to me, Maxwell, about you writing. How did you come about with your first book? Because you wrote several of them, how did you come about saying, okay, let me put this thing to paper and start writing a book? How did that come about?
Well, actually, my first book started because a woman who was putting on a virtual summit basically dared me to write the book. She wanted me to be part of this online event where there's going to be 5 speakers in 5 days. But she said, you know, in order to do this, you really need to have something you can give away or you can sell at a discount. I think you can write a book, and I think you can write it in the next 60 days. And I have complete confidence in you. And I told her, I said, yeah, you're out of your dang mind. I'm more than happy to try writing the book. But I said, but I don't see how this is going to work, because I never wrote one, never had any intention of writing one. And she shared with me her favorite quote from Richard Branson, which is, promise to deliver and then figure out how. And I told her, I said, well, that sounds all well and good, but if this turns out to be a train wreck, this is all going to be your fault, and I'll be more than happy to let the world know that this was all your fault, you know? So, yeah. So a few weeks later, I find out that the other speakers have decided that it would be better for marketing purposes if all the speakers were women. So I was out of the event.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I grew up the son of carnival people. I'm a promoter at heart. So I'm like, I understand what it is to want to put more feet on the ground or butts in the seats or faces behind the screen. So I was cool with it. But I kept writing the book. And in December of 2013, my good friend Lorraine Reguli, who works at wordingwell.com as an editor and a ghostwriter and many other things, she helped me get it from the manuscript to being published on Amazon. And as I say, the book has won a couple of awards. It was the source material that got me my Amazon retreat. And that has led to other books. What I find is that if you are a storyteller or someone who enjoys writing, which I enjoyed writing in junior high school until they beat it out of me in high school and college, but I rediscovered my love for writing as a blogger. So if you enjoy storytelling or writing and you write a book, you might want to get a few extra spaces on your shelf for your copy, for your view copies of your books, because you're probably going to find ideas for more than that one book.
Oh, definitely. I know what that is. And the process of going through writing is really fascinating. So I know it's a progression of things. So now talk to me, Maxwell, about COVID came, change all of our lives, and present us with some really good opportunities. I think for creators, we had to pivot in many ways to create new things. Talk to me about some of those things that you feel that this was given an opportunity for you in your process in development as a person.
Well, as far as COVID goes, you have to realize that I was doing so much of what I do online beforehand, and also given mm-hmm. the transportation limitations here in a suburb of Houston, Texas, where I live. I wasn't what you'd call mobile to begin with. So COVID really didn't change my life. In fact, some things got a lot easier because of the number of places that now will deliver food to the house. Whereas, you know, used to it was pizza or Chinese or nothing. You know, now you can put in a whole grocery order. And, you know, I did get more opportunity. And I did get more opportunities to speak, virtually online. And in fact, I had my first paid speaking event last summer online, and I've been speaking mm-hmm. and have considered myself a professional speaker since May of 2016. So 5 years after putting myself out there as a speaker, I get my first paid event during COVID. So I was asked to speak to a.
That's awesome. Yeah.
You know, but I'll tell you, the one thing that I didn't really expect from COVID, and I've had to find ways to maintain my mental health during COVID, because you would think a guy who built his brand online really wouldn't be bothered by not going places. But what I've found is that I mm-hmm. don't enjoy speaking as much over Zoom as I do in person, because there's no real good way for the networking. You can't have a meal with somebody. You can't get the immediate response of ahs and ohs or applause or the whole full applause at the end of a talk. So it hasn't been as gratifying. Mm-hmm. So I've actually had to work harder to give the talks on Zoom, even though I've gotten more opportunities to give them, especially because they don't have to pay my transportation to get me there. You know, it's been a lot more opportunities, just not as satisfying. And I really, in the last few weeks, I've been invited to go to a couple of events later this year. And it's like just putting an event on my calendar where I have to put my good pants back on has just changed a lot of things, you know? Especially since when I pulled them on the first time, they still fit. So going to be a lot of people going to have to go to their tailor.
I know, man. I was one of those that had to change, go visit my tailor and all that kind of stuff. But my work kind of kept me busy. When I was back in the healthcare, it kept me busy working. So I didn't have a break at all. In fact, we worked more in the healthcare field than most people did. So it was kind of an exhausting time. But we learned a lot about, you know, I think when I talked to my staff, the piece that kept them going was the fact that they were in that place of a servant. And I tell you, that's the most important place to be. Talk to me now, Maxwell, and the fact that here you are, you've gone through so much in your life. You've been presented with wonderful opportunities to cry and not to move at all. But you have moved and produced much out of your life. Talk to me about some of those fears that you had to overcome that could have, if you had allowed it, kept you closed off or even defeat you if you would have allowed it. Talk to me about some of those fears and how did you overcome them?
Right. Well, first, I want to finish your previous question by saying I did get a lot of new opportunities to work with people who wanted to get on podcasts and radio shows during the last 2 years. Help some amazing people tell their stories, and in some cases, even help them understand what their story was in the first place. As far as facing my fears are usually around money. And so it's usually, you know, where is the money going to come from? Because quite often you can be professionally successful, you can be doing everything right and still not be generating the amount of money you want from it. So like, you know, when I have traveled, most of the time I have left with a lot less money on me than most other people would. But over the years, I learned from my experience in the cargo business that if you just look for it, if you allow other people to help you and be part of it, you can almost always find a way through whatever it is you're experiencing at that moment. And so with some of the many bad situations that I got myself or I got my family out of over the years has allowed me. Plus, I've learned in the last, you know, 10 or 12 years that I've been working for myself that whenever I expect and believe that somehow, some way the money will show up, it does. And that takes that's one of those things I really have to work on. I have to think about it. I have to pray over it. I have to try to take steps that will bring in more income while I'm doing some of these things. But usually in the end, I just end up and I go ahead and do it. And I think the reason that I'll do it, even though it has sometimes put me in precarious situations that have led to some stories that have not yet been told yet, because, you know, maybe there's some things that don't need to be told. You know what I'm saying? I've got myself because usually what I do is I say, which scares me more, Max? The idea of being, you know, broke or needing help at some place that maybe not be, or, you know, am I more scared by what would happen if I don't do this? You know, and I hate to use the new cliche of fear of missing out, because it's not generally, I'm not really thinking about the experience. I'm just like, what will this do for me as a person? How will I grow? And then the other thing I've really accepted, you know, I didn't really think of myself as somebody who was inspirational for a long time. And once I finally accepted, I realized, you know, there are people out here that are watching Max, that are paying attention to what he does and how he does it and what he says about it when he's through doing it. And so I kind of feel an obligation to take risks even when I'm a little scared of taking those risks. So whether that's, you know, traveling to New York or Philadelphia or Florida or starting a podcast network or, you know, whatever it is I'm about to do, you know, just recently, a friend challenged me to write a song. And I was like, I've never written a song before. I wouldn't know the first thing to do about writing a song. Her response was, Max, how do you do everything else? I'm like, well, she said, try writing one verse or one phrase, or try coming up with a tune that sounds good for a few bars in your head. So the next thing I know, I wrote a song last summer called If You Don't Ask. And I'm working on another one called What's Your, If I Could Do It, What's Your Excuse? So a lot of times I realize even during the bad things, even when you fall on your ass and you have to get a lot of help and you have to really talk yourself into taking that next risk, what experiences would you have missed if you didn't? You know, what would you have not learned about yourself if you didn't? What would you have not been able to teach other people if you didn't? That's, you know, the biggest compliment that I get on my website or my work isn't, you know, if you can do it, what's my excuse? My biggest compliment is that it's the way I share my setbacks and disasters. And even though I hate using the F word, failures, the way I share those openly and the lessons that I've learned from them, it's what makes me unique and what makes me compelling and what makes me inspirational. So just think about that. If you don't take risks, if you don't fall down, if you don't have those bad experiences, you don't have lessons to teach other people. And trust me, in the online world, there are way, way too many people that are putting the fluff out there. They're only showing the shiny side and making the rest of us feel bad because we don't have all that shiny stuff. So whenever you're thinking, man, this is scary, I shouldn't do this, I might really embarrass myself, think, what am I maybe not going to learn? What great benefit or reward may I miss out on? But most importantly, if I don't do this, what am I missing out on the opportunity to teach somebody else by my experiences? And to me, that's a big part of what usually will decide me. You know, I like to tell people, I don't know why we're discussing this. You all know I'm going to do it anyway.
I love that. Maxwell, I love your all your energy. And I want to thank you, sir, for coming by Threads of Enlightenment. Everyone that is listening, I just want to encourage you to get in touch with Maxwell, get in touch, read his books, buy his books so that you can spend time. And I've said it 100 times. That when you buy someone's book is that you're having that one-on-one conversation with that person. That's private time that you have with them. And lots of people charge hundreds and hundreds of dollars for that when you can get that just by buying and purchasing a book. So I want you guys to get in touch with him. I'm going to provide his stuff so you can follow Maxwell, so you can get into his podcast, get all that information, because he's going to continue to give you insights to get you to the place that you need to be. Maxwell, thank you for coming by Threads of Enlightenment, sir. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Ken, so much for having you. And I just want to say one last thing, because this is really important to me. I started doing podcast interviews. I started having these conversations in 2013 because I didn't have a way to meet people face-to-face, and I knew there had to be a way for me to get myself out into the world and promote my business. So without people like you, there wouldn't have been a What's Your Excuse or the Blind Blogger or Mr. Midway or any of the things I've done over the last 14 years. So I want to thank you for the role you are playing in my continuing journey and my continuing story. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, sir. It's an honor to be in that role, and I thank you so much.
Everyone who's listening to this podcast, we hope to continually help you to learn how to embrace moments of darkness, because it is in the darkness that we learn how to develop and use our abilities to truly see those parts of ourselves, often invisible to us, in the light. It becomes your responsibility to navigate through all of your trials to find out who you truly are and begin your journey to loving yourself, which is possibly one of the most difficult things you will ever do in your life. To love yourself and to find the real you, but always remember to enjoy the journey. Thank you for coming by. Please subscribe. And if you can support us financially, we deeply appreciate it. You can do this by hitting the heart button. Until next time, invite your family, friends, neighbors, anyone that you can. You can hear us on Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Overcast, and many more.